This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. He'll join us in just a moment. First off, Brian Gussey is Office of Urban Ag and Innovative Production Director at USDA. Talks about some implementation grants.
There were 23 projects that were selected as implementation projects out of the 25 that we have selected this year. Two, for example, one is in Athens, Georgia. It's the Athens Land Trust, which will provide locally grown food to Athens community and offer workshops, paid employment for youth, and business opportunities for beginning and historically underserved farmers. And then on the Osage Nation in Oklahoma, the project there plans to install supplemental lighting for vegetable production facilities and systems, along with installing a solar field and serve as a guide for Native nations looking to implement similar innovative agricultural systems.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Bob Maurer. Bob's with Manduca Trading in Chicago. We'll have some contact information coming up for Bob in just a few moments. First off, Bob, as we start our conversation, we could talk livestock, but really more impressed right now with what's happening in the row crops and the big gains. What's happening there?
Yeah, we certainly did start out the week with a bang. And really, I guess the way I would summarize what's going on with these markets is it's just about weather and just about war. So the fact of the matter seems at this point that there was a lot of talk and expectation that Russia was going to back out of the Ukrainian deal in terms of shipping out of the port there in Odessa. And now it seems like they are full on, either in retaliation or being proactive with their own wishes in also eliminating the, or at least making it difficult, moving corn or moving wheat down the Danube. Not just wheat, but also the many grains that Ukraine can offer onto the world market. So with that news and with those visuals that we all saw or many saw over the weekend, regardless of what news portal you might use, the images are clear that there seems to be a concerted effort to slow things down in terms of making grain trade a regularly ordinary transaction for Ukraine. So that's what's being discounted into the market, especially with the big moves that we saw here. The wheat's up 60 cents in the soft red winter, so that is a limit move. KC wheat, the hard red winter, up 56 cents or so, depending on which month you're looking at there. And then in Minneapolis for the hard red spring, up about 48 to 49. So clearly a repricing there. And in as much as the spread market is going to come alive in terms of wheat rallying as strong as it did, and corn prices arguably probably needing to follow suit, we saw a good pop in that market also. September, corn up around 34 cents, new crop yeast up around 33. And then I guess maybe more so in sympathy with what's going on with its cousins there in the grain market, but the oilseeds also rallied with the soybeans up around 21 cents or so. Each one might have its own particular set of fundamentals, but nonetheless, I think the war and the weather thing is the main thing that's driving the market right now. And it's really hard to gain a feel for what's going to happen next. I mean, if you look at the wheat futures, September soft red winter, the market's been having, you know, $1 to $1.30 fluctuations in a matter of weeks. I mean, back in June, we were sub $6. By the end of June, we were right around 770. Then we broke on down to like the 620s. And then we just, with today's high limit up move, we're at the 750s. So the point is that, you know, volatility is clearly here. And also the markets are having a hard time trying to figure out what's next. Maybe some are better than others with their tea leaves or their crystal balls, but definitely it's just something where you need to be nimble and on your toes, not be stubborn. And if you're a speculator, go ahead, you know, make a trading plan, but then stick to it. And then if you're a hedger, either on the buy side or the sell side, right, producer or procurer of the commodity, just make sure you've got your levels in the market so that you can take advantage of some of these moves. So make sure you game it out that way. In addition to the Ukrainian news and so some of the destruction that happened over the weekend in terms of Russian specific. Sovcom now estimates they're going to export about 4.3 million metric tons of wheat in July versus just 3.5 in June and versus 2.3 last year, July. So increase in their exports, which, you know, I think at the end of the day, the world needs, arguably, whether or not you want to ethically buy it or not, that's totally up to you. But that's where, that's a good thing for wool prices, you know, down the road once all these prices kind of readjust to what might be the new normal in terms of Ukraine's ability to export theirs. In terms of what's happening here in the U.S., the Wheat Quality Council Spring Wheat Tour is going to be taking this week between Tuesday and Thursday, covering North Dakota, parts of western Minnesota. So we should get their estimations, you know, shortly thereafter. And I guess we'll just kind of size those up relative to their track record. And generally speaking, their track record has come in shy of, in terms of their yields, their expected yields based on their boots on the ground tour, has come in a little bit less than what had ultimately happened in the crop year. So keep an eye on that one, and, you know, we'll have some context there with the historical data. The other things that are impacting the markets is the weather. So the weather for the Midwest looks fairly dry or mostly dry through about late this week. In the Canadian prairies, temperatures should be rising a bit here. But then the 8 to 14 day kind of doesn't necessarily completely alleviate that, but maybe a little less dry and maybe a little less heat. We'll see how that all comes together, though, right? These forecasts tend to change. In terms of the corn market, besides the elephant in the room, which is the Ukrainian situation, we're going to get some kind of indication of what the crop's looking like right now. Right now, it's just about guessing what the yield might be, and it's hard because certain areas of the country have kind of withstood some of the major temperature fluctuations, and certain parts of the country have gotten toasted by temperature fluctuations. So that number, that average yield, is going to be kind of a work in progress, shall we say. But anyway, we'll get the USDA's latest drop in terms of crop conditions this afternoon. And on that note, the context that we have right now are from last week's numbers. So good to excellent category for corn last week was at 57%. That was an improvement week on week. For soybeans was 55%. And again, that was an improvement week on week. The cotton market actually saw a decrease in its good to excellent category from 48 the prior week to 45 last week. And then in terms of the spring wheat, there was about 51% for the good to excellent category in that particular commodity, the spring wheat. So we're looking at the, you know, low to mid 50s in terms of corn, soy, and spring wheat, and we're looking at the mid 40s in cotton, at least as a baseline going into this report this afternoon. So we'll see what kind of tweaks the USDA does. In terms of the harvest for the winter wheat, last week that was put at 46%. That was a 10% increase relative to the previous week. So we'll see if, again, that clip can continue on. And I'm guessing, just based on the weather being as dry as it is, as it has been in many of those areas in terms of the winter wheat, that you're going to see a pretty good clip in terms of improvement in terms of that harvest number. Conversely, though, with cotton dipping 3% week on week in that good to excellent category, and Texas having to withstand some pretty darn hot temperatures down there, I would expect probably a decrease in the crop conditions for the Texas market for cotton. So we'll see how that all plays out. And then for soybeans, again, it's more about the weather right now. We're watching that real close, and, you know, it's a little bit too early. I mean, there are areas that are definitely stressed, but a little bit too early to really get a gauge on yields as of yet. And then in terms of South America, the Brazilian processors have increased their soybean purchases recently, so hopefully that gets a little bit of a base, or at least a bit of a floor in soybean prices, and hopefully things can stabilize there. And then as for cotton, you know, I think we had some good news that came out recently with China's going to be issuing 750,000 metric tons in sliding tariff rate cotton import quotas to non-state run firms. So that's generally a good thing that they're going to allow some imports there. But at the same time, the expectation at this point is for Brazil to get the bulk of that business.
Now, we're almost out of time, but can't let you go without also talking about the impressive run to the higher side for milk, as we're well above $17 now. So what's happening there? What is it, fundamentals?
Yeah, the dairy market's been on a pretty good tear to the upside, and this has happened over the last, I guess, you know, 20 trading days or so. And really, when you kind of survey what's happening in the U.S., I guess it makes sense, in as much as out in the Northeast, the milk output has been trending lower. We've also got the fact that in just a matter of a few weeks, we should see an uptick in the demand, especially starting in the South with the start of the school years, which tend to start a little bit earlier down there. So combine those two together, you see a bit of a heightened demand, shall we say, and decreased supply in the Midwest, especially down in Texas, with the temperatures in the hundreds nearly every day event, it seems like, and nowhere in sight in terms of breaking quite yet. That's been an impediment to milk output down there. And then also, in the West, that milk production in California, for example, is trending downward, and the milk production in New Mexico is also trending downward. So we've got the supply side situation, which is tightening. We've got demand base just around the corner, it seems, with the school year opening up, and put all that together, and we've seen some kind of solid fundamentals at least work their way into the market, and we've seen a good rally. I don't know where it's going to go from here, but I think right now, as long as that stays the same and the cow discomfort levels in many parts of the nation just due to the heat potentially decreasing the output, I think that's going to stay with us for a bit, and we'll see when weather breaks, and then maybe these numbers will start turning around a little bit.
Okay, we started the conversation by saying contact information, so if we want to talk one-on-one, how do we do that?
Sure. Contact information. You can pick up the phone. Give me a call. Number is 312-987-2053, or reach out via email, which is bmauer@manducatrading.com, or come visit our websites at www.myfuturesadvisor.com.
Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading Chicago, on today's Agribusiness Report.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Supporting the High Plains cotton producer is the number one priority for Plains cotton growers. Since its inception in 1956, PCG has focused on being the advocate for High Plains cotton and a respected voice on cotton issues. Protecting the interest of the High Plains cotton producer requires a dependable, dedicated organization focused on getting results, and cotton producers depend on the organization they founded, Plains Cotton Growers. From the halls of Congress to the turn rows of the High Plains, cotton producers depend on Plains Cotton Growers.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Our special guest today, Bob Mauer, Manduca Trading in Chicago.
Life doesn't come with guarantees, but working with Rob Seco comes pretty close. Our strategic investments in the seed we offer are designed to directly improve your bottom line. From full trait platforms, breeding and development, to field-by-field planning and seed-driven crop inputs, with Rob Seco, you have precisely what you need to improve plant performance and increase yield. Every farm, every crop, and every acre. Learn more at robseco.com.
Texas Corn Producers serves the state's corn farmers through both the Corn Board and the Association. The board is putting your checkoff dollars to work in research, promotion, and education to ensure producer profitability and market expansion. The member-supported association is the farmer's advocate in Austin and Washington, D.C. on issues from the Farm Bill, water and property rights, and more. Join the Texas Corn Producers Association today and get the latest news and information about Texas Corn Producers' efforts online at www.texascorn.org.
You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Find out more about Bob Maurer online, myfuturesadvisor.com.
American agriculture creates millions of jobs, all the while feeding and clothing the world. But with many policymakers so removed from the farm, attacks on farm policy threaten our livelihood and quality of life in rural America. Our strength is our willingness to work together for the benefit of all. That's why business and farm leaders have formed the Southwest Council of Agribusiness to defend the bedrock of our economy and our way of life. This is Larry Combest. The Southwest Council of Agribusiness is at southwest-council.com.
At Plains Cotton Cooperative Association, our mission is to ensure the long-term profitability of our grower owners through value-added marketing programs and through services to their gins. As a true cooperative, we pay dividends back to our grower owners to financially strengthen their farming operations, whether in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, or New Mexico. Rest assured, at PCCA, we make money for you, not from you.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
In the world of ag economics, there are a few unwritten rules that are almost always proven to be true, right?
Exactly.
USDA Outlook Chairman Mark Tekanowski, in this case, we're talking about a rule that seems to apply year after year in the dairy industry, and that rule...
Milk production tends to always trends higher with population growth and with dairy demand growth generally.
Case in point, USDA's projection for milk production in 2024.
Milk production is expected to be up 2.2 billion pounds.
Up about 1% from this year at 230.6 billion pounds. Another economics rule. More output brings lower producer prices. And indeed, look at Mark's all-milk average price outlook for next year.
Currently forecast at $19.10 per hundredweight, and that would be down 45 cents year over year.
Or about a 2% drop. Gary Crawford, Washington.